If you took public transit today, there's a very good chance you came in contact with a lot of bacteria. If you're in New York City, that includes the germ that causes the bubonic plague and other microbes that digest toxic waste. Researchers spent 18 months swabbing handrails and ticket kiosks to see what microbes are riding the subway with New Yorkers. Christopher Mason is a geneticist at the Weill Cornell Medical College. He's lead researcher on the project, which was published this week in the journal Cell Systems. He joins us from New York City. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so anyone who's ever ridden a bus or a train knows they can be kind of dirty, but it looks like you just proved it. Can you walk us through what you found?
Yeah, so we basically wanted to build a complete molecular map of New York City, which is similar to Google Maps, but looking at the Google Maps kind of DNA. And what this gives us is a new and vital tool to track, classify, and identify the mostly good microbes that are around us every day that we all touch.
And why do you want to do that?
So we want to build this baseline map. This is the first map of its kind across the entire city, which lets you then understand if there is any change to what is the baseline normal, and in this case, actually a very healthy microbiome, or the collection of microbes that exist on the surfaces that we all share every single day.
Well, you say mostly healthy, but you did find signs of the bacteria that causes the bubonic plague. Anthrax showed up. Tell us a little bit more about what you found that was more disturbing.
So, you know, we found lots of diversity of many types of microbes, and even the things that might sound potentially, scary are actually normal background levels of these types of organisms. And it's also important to note that these are just fragments of pieces of DNA that are associated with these organisms. And so bacteria are actually very crafty. They can take pieces of DNA and carry that with them, and that can be things that look like they're from one organism but actually maybe be carried by another. And so once you get to the point where you're sampling thousands of samples across a large-scale urban infrastructure, this study shows that you will see trace levels of things that are associated with pathogens potentially, but they actually cause no increased risk of disease and they have no real association of making anyone sick.
So it sounds like you're saying there's no need to sort of rush out and put a rush on hand sanitizer in New York City and that people shouldn't stop taking the subway.
Absolutely not. If anything, the best metaphor I like is that it's like standing in front of a very rich rainforest and knowing that inside of it you have a lot of unknown species and amazing discovery left to occur. Because we published that we about 48% of all the fragments of DNA match no known organism to humankind. So the excitement I see when I look at a surface means that it's teeming with life. And most of it, we don't yet know what it is, but all of it seems to be keeping us fairly healthy.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that you found was almost amusing. You know, it was like a map to the city. You could see bacteria that would be attracted to chickpeas or falafel. So you could see if there was a falafel restaurant nearby or a pizza house or something like that. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So, the microbes that surround us represent a mirror of the humans that pass through them. So this includes everything from the food that you eat to what you brought with you when you're coming from home into the subway. And really, if you think of the subway systems, right after they get cleaned, they become, it's like a forest fire of that rainforest. And then we repopulate the surfaces with everything that we bring down with us. So it includes the foods we eat, but also the traces of human DNA that are left behind also mirror the demographics from U.S. Census data. So we could actually predict if, say, in Harlem would look in one area or in parts of Brooklyn, that the demographics of, say, white, black, Asian, Hispanic actually match trace levels of DNA, of human DNA that's left behind.
So broaden that out just a little bit more. Let's say you did this study in Omaha or Fort Lauderdale. How would it be different?
So we could potentially in the future actually take any swab of DNA and start to look at the proportions of human DNA and proportions of human alleles and to some degree in a forensic way predict where that swab came from. And this is true not only for human DNA, but any kind of DNA from any organism of which we found thousands potentially in the subway.
And you're not the only researchers that are doing this. In Oregon, we see that some are studying the bacteria that lives in classrooms. In Chicago, researchers have found that microbes thrive in certain surfaces and not others. What are the broader implications for researchers doing this around the country?
Some of the implications include using these molecular data to actually build what we want to think of as a smart city and eventually even kind of a smart planet where we can look for changes in anything that looks like it might be a deviation from the normal baseline microbiome. You can also use it to build hospitals smarter, to build buildings smarter, almost like a probiotic architecture, since we already know the architecture is to some degree full of life forms.
Right. So how do you build a better building? Do you use different materials if you know what kind of bacteria might be in them?
Right. So it's ongoing testing to see which materials actually promote different types of bacteria is in and of itself a very nascent field. It's just begun really in the last 2 or 3 years. And so some of these large-scale data sets, like the ones we just published this week, start to answer that question in a high transit area. And also other areas that are unique we talked about is the South Ferry Station, where we could actually see where that was flooded during Hurricane Sandy, but we can actually see an evidence of ocean-related bacteria and some bacteria that were only previously seen in the Antarctic that now show up on the walls of the subway system. So in that case, you can have a molecular echo of an event that occurred at that station that is still persists to this day.
Wow, fascinating. Dr. Christopher Mason, a geneticist at the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City, he's a lead researcher on a project that tracked the germs found on the New York City subway system. Doctor, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And for the record, I will be taking the bus home today, and
I will
wash my hands afterwards. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd, in for Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.